Hey everyone, thanks for connecting with this message from Hurricane Community Church, where we're all about inviting people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to connect with us further, consider subscribing to our YouTube channel or following us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Most importantly, we hope that connecting with HCC will help you take next steps in connecting with God.
It's so good for me to be back with you again this Sunday. As you can tell, my voice is getting a little stronger. I appreciate your prayers. Pray that they will continue until the voice is back to normal. I'm reading today from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and then turning back to Colossians 4, two verses there, as a basis for our message this morning, and to pick up where we left off 2 weeks ago. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul writes these words, "So then men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God." The King James translates that last phrase as stewards of the mysteries of God. And then in Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 and 26, these words, "I have become the servant of the church by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints." In that latter passage, let me single out a few phrases that I want you to hold on to as we address our topic today. Paul speaks of the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that is kept hidden for ages and generation, and the disclosure of those mysteries now to the saints. If you remember 2 weeks ago, we set out to embark on a journey of looking at the deeper things of God as found in the scriptures. The word deeper can be translated also hidden, but also can be the secret things, and is somehow summarized in many ways in the word mysteries, a word that appears 27 times in the New Testament. As you will note today, as we read several passages, that it will reoccur on a regular basis. Now today we want to look at what those mysteries of the gospel really contain. And I want to do it in a fourfold manner. I want us to consider the incredible salvation, the inclusive gospel, the inexhaustible treasures, and the indescribable objective. Let's look at them one at a time. First, the incredible salvation. In Colossians 1, verse 27, are these words, "To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Now, up until this time, the Jews had believed that their salvation rested in the observance of the law, the practice of the temple rituals, and also the observing of the Jewish feast of the Old Testament. But God had a better idea, and he had not revealed the details of that plan until the actual coming of Christ. Now, Peter lets us in on some beautiful thoughts and challenging thoughts as he writes in his first epistle. Let me read from chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. "Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing. when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who had preached the gospel to you, by the Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Now let me help you unpack that passage. Peter is trying to say that as the prophets of the Old Testament prophesied of the coming of the Messiah, even they were not knowledgeable of the details of how God's plan of salvation for mankind would work its way out. And I love that little phrase that said, even the angels looked into that topic, wanting to know, wanting to understand. And Peter goes on that theme in 1 Peter 1, verses 18 through 21. Let me read those to you. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. But you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb handed down to you. He was chosen without defect or blemish through the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that your faith and your hope is in God. Now again, let me help you. Peter is saying that with the coming of Christ, the mystery of salvation began to unfold. And the message of the prophets began to make sense because the mysteries were no longer mysteries. They were becoming known to those who were experiencing the coming and the advent of Christ. Christ then became the answer to the issue of salvation. And whereas in the past it was the rituals of the temple, the keeping of the law, Peter is saying, as Paul said even to the Colossians, that the mystery of the gospel is now Christ in you, your hope of glory. You see, the Old Testament people had offered animal sacrifices, sacrifices that were dead. But Peter said that in Christ there came a lamb without blemish and without spot. And he, as a living sacrifice, was offered to pay the penalty for man's sins, that through faith and confidence and belief in him, they might come to know him personally as their Savior and their Lord. Now the mystery Paul summarizes in this phrase, that the mystery of salvation is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I've been enamored recently by just the difference between two prepositions, Christ with you and Christ in you. You see, when Christ came on the scene at the age of 30, and lived out his life with 12 disciples, he was with them. But he prophesied that following his departure into heaven, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, would come and would dwell in them. And so the mystery has been made clear that our salvation and our hope is not in the good works that we accomplish. It's not in the rituals that we observe. But it is a personal, vital relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing that he indwells our hearts in the forgiveness of our sins, in the empowering us to live out our lives on a daily basis and to be the people that God wants us to be day by day. And so it's an incredible salvation. No longer something accomplished by our works, but something that is a free gift of God given to all who will believe and will accept him as their Savior to come and dwell within their hearts. But the second thing that the mysteries of God contain is the inclusive gospel. Let me read to you from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 2 through 6. The mystery made known to me by revelation, this mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ. Again, let me unpack that for you. You see, in the Old Testament, the focus was upon the Jews. God was the God of the Jews. And the question was, but what about the Gentiles? They were not a part of the Abrahamic covenant. They were not a part of God's promised people in the Old Testament. But with the coming of Christ and his death upon the cross, and the prophecy that he died not just for the Jews, but for the whole world, presented a mystery that needed to be understood and unraveled. Now, many of you could be thinking ahead and remember how that truth was really unveiled to where it was no longer a mystery. Let me read parts of it to you. Found in the book of Acts, chapter 9 through 22. It's truth about Peter, who fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to the earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles of the earth and the birds of the air. And a voice came and said to Peter, "Take, kill, and eat." Wow, what a problem that presented, you see, to Peter, because Peter and Jews in that day did not eat four-legged animals such as pork, as we would know it today. And so Peter responded, "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice comes to him a second time and says to him, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." It happened three times, and the sheet was lifted back to heaven. And Peter stood there undoubtedly without a clue as to what that all meant. And by the Spirit was directed to the house of Cornelius. And Cornelius, a man of God, was there to interpret the vision to Peter. And Peter, as a result of that encounter with Cornelius, came to this conclusion. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. And might I add in parentheses, even those who eat pork. Now, if you realize the meaning of all of that, you understand that you were included in that vision. Because it was on that day that the church began to understand that salvation was not for the Jews alone, but for the Jews and the Gentiles as well. And you and I were included in that number. It was an inclusive gospel revealed through an Old Testament mystery. The chapter of Acts, chapter 10, ends with this beautiful statement. And what a beautiful ending to the chapter it was. Peter said then, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they might be baptized in the name of Christ. And on that day, the church baptized both Jews and Gentiles. Because in the mystery of the Gospels, Jews and Gentiles alike were included. Then thirdly, the inexhaustible treasures. Let me read from Colossians 2, verses 1 through 3. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Again, let me help you with that. Paul is realizing that now in the gift of God's Son, the Lord Jesus, that not only in Him is salvation, but there are principles and promises that He taught and that He demonstrated by His own life that become an example for all of us to follow. And the truths of all of those promises and truths are found within the Word of God. And I believe we're in the mind of Paul when he wrote the familiar words to the Corinthians that, as you know by now, I love to quote, "I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit." Now, Paul is saying simply this: once we come to understand salvation in its truest form, Christ indwelling our hearts and our lives, we have a resource in the Word of God. And God has given us everything that we need, not only to fulfill His will, but to live a life and to live it abundantly, because He has given to us inexhaustible treasures within the Word of God. Treasures that He wants to reveal to us on a daily basis. Not just when Pastor Charles comes to preach or Pastor Danny on a Sunday, but day by day when we're in the Word and we're seeking to know His truth, He is there by His Spirit indwelling our hearts and our minds, revealing to us the meaning and the purpose of God's Word. And we're going to flesh that out a little more as we go. But how beautiful it is to me that on a daily basis when I go to my study and I open the Word of God, that I can do so believing that God may on that day want to reveal to me some new truth that previously I have not understood, or give me some sense of guidance for my life that will lead me to make the right decision. You see, these things were a mystery to those of the Old Testament, but in Christ, that mystery became revealed. We came to know its meaning and its truth, and it's available for all of us to embrace. Now, the fourth and last is somewhat the icing on the cake. It refers to the indescribable objective. Where is all this going? What's the purpose and plan behind Christ's provision? Let me read to you from Ephesians 1, 7 through 10. "And He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He proposed in Christ, to be put fully in effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together, under one head, even Christ." Now later in this series, we're going to explore these verses in greater depth, talking about the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure. What will ultimately bring pleasure to God when the plan that He's laid out for the history of mankind is completely fulfilled in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus? The mystery that He proposed in Christ, put in effect in the latter days, and that He will bring all things together in His name. Now, with the word mystery, two components of that indescribable fulfillment are in God's Word for us to appreciate. Let me read them to you in closing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, are these intriguing words: "Listen, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will all be changed. Wow. You see, all a part of the mystery of God when revealed to those of us who can understand it through the Word. God has an objective that ultimately, where He is, there we shall be also. And the plan is through an event that will someday take place beyond human comprehension, but for us as spirit believers to believe by faith. That a trumpet of God will sound, the dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive and remain will be caught up in the air to meet them and to be with the Lord forever. Awesome provision. Once a mystery that man did not have or perceive. The Old Testament Jewish people had no idea of the rapture, though prophesied by the prophets. They often lacked understanding to embrace it. But now we can understand it and we can embrace it as our very own. And literally, I believe to the very letter that the day will come when the trumpet will sound. And then the ultimate fulfillment of His will can be found in Revelation chapter 10 and verse 7. But in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God will be fully accomplished, just as He announced to His servants, the prophets. And when that last trumpet it sounds, it simply means that the judgment of sinful man will be done, the tribulation will have passed, and the millennium of God's 1,000-year reign upon the earth will begin, and God will have accomplished the mission that He set forth as He began even with the covenant of redemption back in the Old Testament. Awesome and deep truths for all of us to be able to embrace. But a part of the mystery that God has revealed in His Word, that as you and I study it, as we listen to it taught, as we seek to understand better its meaning in depth, enriches our life, increases our confidence, and builds our faith in the One who came to save us. And let me end with this verse that I think is so important. In 1 Peter chapter 3, in the last verse of the book, Peter said, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." The Living Translation says, "But grow in spiritual strength and become better acquainted with Jesus." Now here's the point, the takeaway that we dare not miss. Everything that we have taught, the meaning, the reality of its truth, all is wrapped up in one single person, Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. And our growing to maturity, our better understanding the mysteries of God's truth, is learning to know and to understand Jesus better day by day, the longer we live and the more we search the truth of His Word. Mysteries now revealed to us by His Spirit to enrich us and to ultimately bring us to be at home with the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your Spirit that has come to reveal to us the mysteries of Your Word. We thank You, Father, for an indescribable salvation. That salvation is in reality Christ living and indwelling our hearts. And for that we praise You. We thank You, Father, that as Gentiles we were included in Your plan. And though Israel is a chosen nation, we too have been chosen. For it is not Your will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And thank You, Father, for Your Word, the richness of its meaning, its content, and its depth. And we pray that as we dig deeper, we'll understand it better each time. And then, Father, the glorious hope that is ours, that we hold on to in the midst of a very troubled and broken world, that someday, as we stay true to the faith, we shall see Jesus face to face, and where he is, there we shall be also, not just for a day, but for all eternity. Accept our praise and our gratitude, and we'll give you thanks, and we'll praise you in Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning in, and we hope this message helped you take a step in your relationship with God. If you're considering other ways to connect, check out HCC's website, social media, and YouTube channels.